For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Charlie Crist and Nick Fried have been, you know, praising Biden, pushing the Biden agenda. Today, during his announcement, he referred to you as Rick Scott. What does that say? Is it too much on his mind, or is he having one of those senior moments?
When you run for office that many times over three decades, I'd probably get confused with who I'm running against, too. So, but look, anytime there's an open office somewhere, you know, you can bet someone like a Chris is probably going to be slithering around for it. So that's fine. But we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. And, you know, they basically been criticizing me nonstop for a year. You go back and look what they would have done. We would not be sitting in this school if they had their way, because they would not have opened the schools. Let's just be honest with that. That would have left hundreds of thousands of kids in the lurch. And leadership matters in these elections.
And welcome back into the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show, 5:07 in the p.m. here at 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Chris, two things about that Governor Ron DeSantis clip. First of all, I think slithering is a great way to describe Charlie Crist. I don't know, folks. I don't know if our audience is familiar with Charlie Crist, but you should be, because he's, as Ron DeSantis says, he's run for every office imaginable. He's a weird dude, too. He was a Republican. Then he became an independent. Now he's a Democrat. He's always got this weird, you know, they give Donald Trump trouble, you know, orange man bad. Crist has had this weird, unearthly glow about him forever, and he's got this shock of white hair. He kind of looks like a doll or something. He's just a strange-looking individual. And Ron DeSantis, I mean, Chris, the left cannot stand him because he did the opposite of everything that Biden and the Democrats wanted us to do during the pandemic. And everybody has moved to Florida because of it.
Yeah, he was proven right. Everyone shut down their businesses, shut down society in their states. Florida did not. They kept the schools open. And we see that that was the right decision. Florida's economy is booming. And as you said, everyone is moving there. AOC during the pandemic takes vacations.
That's
there.
That's right.
So
with her weird boyfriend.
Exactly. Because, you know, all Republicans want her. That's why she's criticized.
Yeah, you
want to
date her.
Yeah,
I
we all want
I've heard.
Her. Yeah.
Don't tell Becky or Suzanne.
You know, before we get to our guests, I just want to point out there's breaking news in St. Charles County.
Oh, please.
The jury in St. Charles County gave the death sentence to the man that murdered his girlfriend and her two children. And then he went on that rampage and tried to carjack the woman at the Quick Trip there.
That's right.
He was given the death sentence. Richard Darren Emery was convicted of murdering his girlfriend, her two children, and her mother in 2018.
Good Lord. Yeah. Breaking news indeed. Yeah, no kidding. We do have Everett Jones in the studio. Before we bring into Everett, I'll go ahead and knock out a stump speech here, and then we'll bring in Everett Jones. Let's do the stump speech next.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
See, that's another reason we need communism.
It's time for the Speaker's Stump Speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
All right, so I'm going to tell you what I've been reading and seeing, and then we're going to ask Everett Jones what he's been hearing as he's been running all over the St. Louis metro area. And I'm going to get in trouble from one Vic Porcelli for talking about this, because I'm going to talk about the things that should not be named. I know that Vic and Ken are extremely nervous, anxious, and sensitive about saying things like red waves and red tsunamis. But, you know, I kind of look at that like saying the word Voldemort from the Harry Potter series. Harry Potter was never afraid to name his enemy or name the things about which he feared. And I'm not going to as well. Look, I think it's very interesting that today I came across three separate articles from three separate publications, all kind of telling the same narrative. And, of course, I'm thinking to myself, are they reporting things factually? Or are they trying to drive a narrative and maybe discourage Republicans? Maybe not discourage, maybe convince Republicans that they don't need to worry so much about this election because it will be such a wave election. And I know that's something that Vic and Ken are very concerned about. We don't want people to get lackadaisical. We don't want people to think, oh, all the Republicans are going to go vote, so if I don't go vote today, it won't make any big difference. Now, here in Missouri, folks, I think we're going to come out of this rather swimmingly, no matter what happens, because, you know, Eric Schmidt, first of all, is leading Trudy Valentine by like a dozen points as of last look. But in the other states that we talk about all the time, this is going to be a very critical election indeed, because so many of the races are such are so built on the razor's edge. Anyway, these three articles. The first one I found was from Axios. Now, Axios is no conservative-leaning publication. They tend to be in the middle of the road, often tilting to the left. They have a titled article today called The Five Bellwethers of a GOP Wave Election. Now, if you read the actual article, they say, well, if these things fall the Republicans' way, then it may be a wave election. If they don't fall their way early in the night, then it could be a longer night indeed. They focus on the Pennsylvania Senate race, and then they have a collection of four congressional races around the country. It's actually a pretty good read. It's really short article. You should check it out on Axios.com. A Nebraska congressional race, a Pennsylvania congressional race, a congressional race in Oregon, and one in Virginia. They say if it's a GOP wave election, then these areas, which tend to lean Democrat but are currently held by Republicans, if they fully flip back into Democratic hands, then it's going to be a more middle-of-the-road election. If they go Republican early in the night, then it could be a wave across the land. Second article I found today was from the editorial board of the Washington Times. Will midterms reprise 1994 and 2010? Basically, they say the Republicans must tie Biden's horrific record around Democratic candidates next. And this was echoed on, of all places, Meet the Depressed with Chuck Todd on NBC this past Sunday, where Chuck Todd said, you know, the issues that Republican voters care about are inflation, economy, the border, and crime. I think a lot of voters care about that more than Republicans. And the issue that Democrats care about is abortion. Well, if that's all they've got, then I think this could lean towards a wave election. And finally, the third article, GOP candidates often beat the pollsters. Chris, we talked about this in reference to Robert Cahalli from Trafalgar, saying a lot of the more liberal-leaning polling outfits continue to poll all registered voters instead of, at this point, nearly 1 month out, just likely voters. And so the polls are tending to still favor Democratic candidates in a lot of these very tight districts. Are they doing that on purpose, or is it an accident? I'll let you decide that. But if you poll likely voters at this time, it's hard to argue against the fact that it is Republicans, conservatives, libertarians who are going to be the most driven to go to the polls, because they absolutely want to change from the economic and freedom and liberty robbing devastation that we've had over the last 19 months. And that's the Speaker Stump Speech for today, October the 4th, 2022.
And I'll tell you one thing else, too, that I would be leery of, is that these polling firms are probably oversampling Democrats because they're basing it on 2018 turnout. And, of course, 2018, Democrats did very well. So I would get that's probably factored into these polls as well. The sampling is probably incorrect, very much oversampled of Democrats. Mm-hmm.
So that's what the pollsters are doing. That's what the prognosticators are doing. Let's see what the people in the real world are doing and saying. Everett Jones from Jones Air and Water in with us today. He's a real person. Everett, how you doing today?
Good. Good. How are you?
We're doing all right. What are you hearing as you're out and about? Do you chit-chat with customers at all? Do politics come up? It's almost hard to avoid it in this day and age, isn't it?
It's extremely hard to avoid it when everybody's going through the same thing, you know, at the pump, at the grocery store, driving down the road, wherever you're at. Everybody is paying more for what we were paying less for 3 years ago or more. You know, and it was back then. It doesn't seem very far, but it was 3-4 years ago when everybody was, construction was rolling, everything was up, economy was up, interest was down. All those things today are opposite. Mm-hmm. So up is down and down is up.
It sure seems like it.
Yeah. Yes, I do talk to most of my customers about the economy and how they're doing. And yes, they do elaborate that they're not happy with what's going on. So would I say most of my customers are Republican or Democrat or in between or right or left? I think I've got a good majority in the middle. The middle folks are the ones that really understand what's happening. If you're far right and you're far left, you've just got one opinion. You don't really look at the rest of the opinions, is my point or my view. So I'm in the middle between way over there and way over there. So I don't have a I don't know what to say here about politics in general, but
you're more
I think the government in general I think the government in general is full of baloney.
Mm-hmm.
All of it. Mm-hmm. You know, we got way too much government, and we need to get rid of 2/3 of it and get back to. Did you know that in our founding documents there were 18 jobs for the United States government?
Are you kidding?
18 jobs.
Oh my gosh.
And there, wow. How many do we have today that they've created in a false narrative to make us pay for their toys?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really, yeah. That's what I think. Everything we're going through is a toy of somebody's that was built in the back room that somebody wrote it down, and then it didn't become a law. It became a code or something that somebody decided that, hey, let's go run with this.
Mm-hmm. Everett, as we enter the cooler weather, what type of services are people seeking you out for nowadays?
Well, right now we're being in October, we're going to have dry weather. If you can tell right now, we haven't had any rain in several days. Mm-hmm. So some people are going to have dry skin. They're going to have hacking coughs. They're going to have things that, because moisture is not high, so your skin's going to dry out. Your breathing's going to dry out. I see you got a humidifier running over here.
Yes, we do.
In the office here. So
static is bad
static
for
is bad.
Stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So what we're you know, this month, next month, December, big products are humidifiers, obviously, mm-hmm. going on furnaces, whole house water filtration systems. I heard you talking about it earlier, Tim. That was a great job, too, by the way.
Okay.
So those, you know, the whole house water treatment systems are really what we're putting a lot of in right now, because more people today understand that the water here comes out of that river out there, and that water comes from everybody that's up north of us. And there's just imagine if you would or could what might be there.
You might not want to.
Yeah, and you know, the city does what they're supposed to do, which is put chlorine in the water to disinfect it. And if you're in city of St. Louis or St. Louis County, you're putting ammonia in with it, and that chlorine and ammonia creates a compound called chloramines. And those are very hard to treat or take out of the water, so you have to have a specific product to do that, and that's what our HydroTech HTO is built for. You know, when I went to HydroTech to ask them to build me a product, they said, just give us specifications, and I did on what we needed here in this area, and I say this area, the whole metropolitan area. If you're on St. Louis City or County American Water, you're getting water that has chloramines in it.
Mm.
If you're in a county, if you're in one of the municipalities outside of that, then typically you're getting chlorine in your water. So chlorine is one thing to take out. It's easier than chloramines are.
Mm-hmm.
So those are in St. Louis City County, Illinois, rural, right next to where we're at here.
Ever, what are chloramines?
Chloramines are a combination of chlorine and ammonia.
Okay.
So when they used to use chlorine at a high dose, and then they started stretching the plumbing out. And it goes all the way out from here. People out in Augusta get St. Louis City water. Mm-hmm. People out in Wentzville get St. Louis City water. People over in Illinois and in Edwardsville, they get St. Louis, or in that case, it's Illinois American, which is coming from American water is French. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, well, I thought they were. I thought they started off as an American company, and then the Germans owned them for a while.
Right.
The French, and I thought the U.S. company, a U.S. company, bought them back. But I've lost track.
Well,
I've lost track.
It's too much to keep track of. It's like all the companies
buying
keep buying big
everything.
Ones and bigger. If you're not bigger, they're going to buy you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The chloramines in this area is really what's hard on things. It's hard on the rubber inside your toilets. It's hard on the rubber inside of all your fixtures. Mm. It's hard on virtually any plastic. Any polymer it sits on, it's going to cause it to dry out and crack. And then the hardness in the water at this time of the year, it causes your skin to plug. And then your pores, when your pores are plugged, your body oils don't come to the surface. In the summertime, you don't feel that as bad because you sweat and your sweat pushes your pores open.
That's fascinating.
In the wintertime, everybody starts talking about dry skin and flakiness and those kind of things. So that's why our HTO HydroTech product is a great product for this area. It has the ability to do multiple things. You mentioned chlorine or chloramines. It also has the ability to take out volatile organic chemicals like pesticides, herbicides, and fertilizers, as well as the chloramines.
So because of everything you just said, even though people may not feel like they need to drink as much water, people need to drink just as much water, if not more, in the winter, right, to counteract all the drying effects, right? You don't stop drinking water just because it's not hot outside.
No. It doesn't matter what time of year it is. You're supposed to drink half your body weight in ounces.
Wow.
Daily. Whether it's if it's hot outside, you're going to need to drink more because you're going to sweat it out. And in the wintertime, you know, most people go active and they go into a gym, and being athletic or moving more is going to cause you to sweat, and then you're going to need more water. So the average person that's active should drink their body weight in water plus about 20% more.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yep. That helps you. That helps you. You know, you don't get hungry as much. You don't have brain fog. Women don't have menstrual problems. There's a lot of things that are benefit to human body to be hydrated.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. That's good for men too.
Yeah, absolutely. I got another quick. Exactly.
You got it. You got it. The guys got it.
Yeah. Another quick water question.
Boy, Katie. Girl, Katie.
That's right. So, Everett, I'm a big fan, especially as we slip into fall, of the bourbon whiskeys, you know, and the Scotch whiskeys, mm-hmm. you know, and sampling a little bit of those, you know, in moderation as we head into the fall,
yes, of course.
And Everett, one of the things I always hear about the Scotch distillers and the Kentucky bourbon distillers is they always talk about their water, and they always claim that their products are superior because a lot of it's filtered through limestone, the harder minerals and waters, whereas here a lot of our stuff is a little muddier and sandstone and things like that. Is that all a marketing gimmick, or is it true that water in different parts of the country, depending on what kind of rock formations is flowing through, is, you know, better, purer, cleaner than other parts of the country?
It is, yeah. Yep. Right here we're on sandstone, limestone. So the Missouri River, for instance, is harder. If we were to test the Missouri River, since it's spring fed, you're going to find that it's harder than the Mississippi River, which is rainfall water going into the river basin.
Mm.
So, yes, it does matter where you're at. If you go out west and you get up into places where they have slate, you know, that doesn't dissolve. That doesn't get into the water because it's so hard. And that water stays less hard is the word. No, not many places in the United States have soft water. Soft water is the absence of minerals. There's three states: Louisiana, Washington State, and upstate New York.
Huh.
That's because their water comes out of the mountains and the snow.
Interesting.
So you don't have as much. So yes is the deal. But I think I know where you were going with that whiskey deal.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So if you take water, let's say a lot of my customers have their own well, and they drill down and they pull it out. Well, if the old timers were to put a glass of water in and they'd put some whiskey in it, if it turned dark, they knew that was hard water, nasty water.
Really?
If it was stayed clean and clear and golden like your whiskey, then they knew that was pretty good water.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's an old way of well drillers figuring out whether they hit the spot or not.
Interesting.
And just so you know, there's nobody alive on Earth that can tell you where to drill a well and get good water.
Hmm.
If they do, if they can, they would never have to work again. But, you know, there's so many wells. 50% of the United States is surface water. And the rest of it is all well groundwater.
Hmm. Ever, what products do you see coming out that aren't here now that you're going to be selling that are going to like revolutionize what you do? Is there something out there that people are working on and you're like, wow?
Well, there's some some products that are really costly. They're called electrodeionization. Ooh. But most of those folks that use that are in the pharmaceutical industry or the medical industry. It's really not plausible for a consumer to have something like that to have that high of water, that higher quality of water, I should say.
Excellent indeed. Everett, specials coming up for October. Do you want to push before we let you go?
We'll throw April air humidifiers on the skid for $650 installed.
Dehumidifier or humidifier?
Humidifier.
Humidifier, because we're heading into winter.
That's April right. air, yeah. April air humidifier.
All right, very good. Excellent. Everett, thanks for everything you do to support us mm-hmm. here, and we appreciate your knowledge and your expertise and your insight.
Well, thank you.
It's always fun coming and hanging out with you guys.
We need to have you back again sooner than later.
Sooner than later.
Absolutely. We absolutely will do that. Cool. All right, that's Everett Jones with Jones Air and Water, joneswater.com. We'll be back with lots more here on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show, 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. She says we got to have a secure border, and the president has a plan. But how have Democrats reacted as you've pressed the, on this issue?
It depends who we're talking to, right? A few of them won't even make eye contact with me when we're chasing them through the hallways. Others were pretty gracious with their time and talked to us. But Nancy Pelosi right there, as you just mentioned, she says, yeah, we have to have a secure border, and the president has a plan, and he's working on it. What is the plan? I mean, we're almost 2 years in now, right? And the numbers just keep getting worse. The administration keeps breaking their own records, right? Last year, we set the record with 1.7 million illegal crossings, only to be broken this year, fiscal year 2022. We're at 2.1 million illegal crossings, and we still have another month left to go. So, yes, there were several Democrats who we approached, and they wanted nothing to do with me or the topic of the border or immigration, wouldn't make eye contact with me, had nothing to say when we pressed them on it.
Mm-hmm. There we go. One of the primary enemies number one of the Biden administration, Chris, is Bill Malusian, who has he should receive all the reporting awards for his work down the border, but he will get zero accolades because it's probably one of the we could think of a lot of worsts the Biden administration has done, but what they've done to our southern border has really been destructive of pretty much everything in our nation.
And, you know, that reporter was right in a sense when he said that they don't have a plan. We haven't heard a comprehensive plan. But they actually do have a plan that they have articulated. It's one, they believe that in order for the border crisis to be solved, we've got to have comprehensive immigration reform. We hear that all the time. The second thing that they did is they appointed Kamala Harris the border czar, which the closest she's come has been San Antonio. And then her other responsibility was to go down to South America and work with South American governments to try to improve their economies to keep their people from going north. That's their plan. It's not working very well.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not. And, you know, when we in the political sphere on the center-right side of the aisle brought up these issues 15, 20 years ago and started talking about the rise of globalism and the New World Order and so on and so forth, we were all called crazy, right? We were all said, there you go again with your black helicopter theories and your tinfoil hats. It's happening now, Chris, right before our very eyes. I mean, our southern border, don't ask us. Ask the Democratic congressman down there, Henry Cuellar, who I saw again on the news the other night, saying, Joe Biden, would you please do something about this? This is an epic disaster.
I mean, the so-called replacement theory is very controversial when people have made that suggestion. But in effect, the replacement theory is that the liberals, the progressives hate America. They think that this country has been run for too long by older white men and white people have controlled the country and that we stole it from brown people. And so to make things equal for equity, then we should allow as many brown people from South America and as Mexico as we can into this country. They think that is creating equity for everybody by doing that.
Yeah, isn't it funny, Chris, that the left invents something, some kind of new political game or some kind of new political theory, and then they try to put it into actual practice. And then when they get caught on it, then they say, oh, well, you can't point that out, and if you do, you're a racist.
I mean, it's plausible. If you think that white people have controlled too much of this country, then why not open the borders and let plenty of people that are brown people from South America come in this country and overwhelm? I mean, in a matter of years, if we're allowing 2 million illegal people to come into this country, I mean, it's just a matter of time before you have the browning of America, as they say. And nobody has a problem with that, per se. Look, America is great because it's a melting pot.
Absolutely.
People from all over the world come here. But the thing is, in the past, people came here and they were had different religions, identities, but they all melted into an American identity. And that's not what we have now. And I don't think it's implausible that they're allowing this on purpose to try to blot out the majority population right now. I think that's plausible. I don't think it's racist. Prove me different. Mm-hmm. Stop the people from coming over if it's not true.
And one major part of their theory has backfired on them, hasn't it?
Yeah.
As we've been talking about ad nauseum, Hispanic American, Latino voters have rebelled against the Democratic Party because, you know, Chris, I think at first when people come in, they go, okay, well, you know, I'm gonna, you know, take note of the political party that initially welcomed me here and wanted me to be here. You know, maybe I got here illegally, but then I was able to grant citizenship. And so I'll give them a look-see. And then as Hispanic generations age into this country, they see that the Democratic Party does not stand for their values at all.
And I think someone, I said it yesterday, I heard it on one of the Sunday shows, but they were making a comment about Hispanic voting patterns. And they said what we're beginning to see, and it makes so much sense, is we're beginning to see Hispanics, they're voting more of their class instead of their ethnicity. And you see African Americans vote almost exclusively on ethnicity. But you see Hispanics are voting on if you maybe have a more entrepreneurial bent, maybe you are more culturally conservative, that may line up with the Republican Party. If you're the opposite, you're more a union worker, then you may be more of a Democrat. That's how Hispanics are voting, and I think that's very encouraging. And I've always encouraged African Americans to do the same. Start voting your class. Stop voting your ethnicity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And look at what the parties offer, right? So, you know, most in the Republican Party, or if you don't like party labels, look at where they are. Look at the political spectrum. So the folks that identify themselves as conservatives, as libertarians, they would say you can be whatever you want to be if you set your mind, your heart, and your soul to it. And you can independently do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. The folks on the left-hand side of the aisle these days seem to be telling us, no, you can only do what the government will support you doing. The government has to help you get to that next level.
Yeah, I think they will, and I don't think it's true, but they will claim that they want the American dream for everyone. We want everyone to achieve. They are just of the bent that if you are a minority or you are a certain sexuality or whatever, you cannot achieve the American dream without the Democrats' help. Mm-hmm. And that's where we differ very strongly with them. We, as conservatives, believe government, get out of the way. You can pursue your own destiny. You don't need the government. Government is a hindrance more than a help.
Mm-hmm. And in follow-up on that, that clip that we played a segment or two ago from the Telemundo reporter who was on NBC News, it comes from a poll, an actual Telemundo poll that talked about the changing voting patterns of Hispanic Americans over the last nearly 20 years. Now it's been nearly cut in half as far as Democrat versus Republican support. There was a line in the article that talked about this from the post-millennial that really caught my attention. And it was referring to another poll done by another liberal-leaning outfit, the New York Times and Siena College. And it shows that New York Times-Siena College poll shows a political realignment as Democrats solidify mostly support amongst college-educated whites and are hemorrhaging support among all working-class minorities. That's amazing. The Democratic Party is trying to pretend as if this is cataclysmic shift is not occurring.
Frank or Robert Cahaly or Frank Luntz always does these focus groups with these people. I would love to see one on Hispanic voters who range from far left to far right and just quiz them and get their opinions. Because I really would like to know what is, you know, I think I know, but what is the appeal for Hispanics for Donald Trump? I would really like to know that. Not saying that they shouldn't.
And the Republican Party in general.
I would like to know why.
Yeah. I think the border crisis is causing a lot of it because a lot of Hispanic Americans are in Texas and Arizona and New Mexico, and they're tired of their property being overrun just as much as anybody else on the planet. And it's going to be, Chris, the story that the media is not going to be able to ignore, they may try, the day after Election Day, is going to be if Myra Flores wins re-election and her two colleagues, there's two other women, there's three women, Hispanic American women, running for the entire Rio Grande Valley, okay, in those three congressional districts. If they all win as Republican Hispanic women, that is going to be an earthquake heard around the political world.
Yeah, too. And I think it also has implications for the whole abortion debate, because that's going to be strong here in this race and for the coming foreseeable future. And to see strong pro-life Hispanic women being elected to Congress, I think will send a statement. And that's what I think the Republican conservative movement needs to do right now to get on, to get ahead of this. There needs to be more women, pro-life women need to be out front.
Agreed.
And saying, hey, it's not just all Republican white men that want to control your body. We, too, are pro-life, and we are part of this movement. They need to get the women out there out front more.
There, I would love to get her on the show. There is a young woman who is often on Tucker Carlson, Lila Rose. Have you guys heard of Lila Rose yet? She's,
yes.
She's got dark black hair, long... She is one of the best people I've ever heard encapsulate and explain the pro-life message. And she never loses her cool, and she can buttress and rebuff any argument that's thrown at her. She's really amazing. She's really fascinating. I really admire her. So, Chris, to your point, there needs to be a lot more Lila Roses and Myra Floreses out there. And, you know, the men do have a part in this equation, but I always say, take away the unforced errors. Take arrows out of their quiver. And if they can't say, oh, it's just the party of old white men who want to prevent abortion, and it's all these younger multiracial women, what are they going to do someday?
Yeah, yeah, you know? Especially you put a bunch of Hispanic and African-American women out there as well being pro-life supporters. I think it blunts a lot of this, because that's why Lindsey Graham did his 15-week abortion ban, because he felt that Republicans are losing the narrative on this issue. And like I said, one way to counter it, I think, as I said, put some women out there.
Absolutely.
Well,
indeed.
If I may interject,
yes,
I think Moms for Liberty and some of the other groups, especially the ones who fermented everything in Virginia, when that, I believe that was another earthquake politically. When all of that happened, I think there is an undercurrent there. Pollsters like Richard Barris has looked at this for the past 5 or 6 years. He has seen that seismic shift going on. But as you guys said, a lot of it is under the surface. So you don't really see it. And obviously mainstream media will not investigate it, although it's nice to see Tucker doing a little bit. And I'm sure there are a few others. But I agree with you, Chris. There needs to be even more.
Oh, yeah.
But Moms for Liberty and some of those groups have really come in there, and you know they're moving into school boards. They're trying to do local precinct captains. Yeah. They're trying to make a change there on the ground level, which has been ruled by the Democratic Party for years. And now all of a sudden they act as though, what are you guys doing? I can't believe you're doing this. Well, you guys have been doing it for decades. I grew up in Chicago.
Right.
I saw all this stuff from when I was a kid with Mayor Daley. I mean, the whole game that goes on is so frustrating to watch it, but I think we're seeing a seismic change.
I agree.
Coming.
It happened in Virginia. Who would have thought that Virginia was going to swing back with a red wave last November?
Exactly.
We'll see what happens this year.
Yep.
5:43 in the Heartland and here at News Talk STL Nation. We'll be back with one final segment this hour, 6 o'clock hour straight ahead, featuring Jeannie Sinkfield, Dr. Jeannie Sinkfield, author of Taxes Have Consequences, and David Stokes, of the Director of Municipal Policy at the Show Me Institute. All of that is straight ahead here at 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
It was a voluntary basis, right? The governor's office has released the waivers, both in English and in Spanish. But the frustration that we're hearing from people in Texas, specifically South Texas, is how the media is making this a big deal just because it comes from a wealthy city like Martha's Vineyard, when hardly no conversations being had of Tucson, Arizona, El Paso, Brownsville, Harlingen, Eagle Pass, which, by the way, we don't get 50 migrants a day, we get thousands. So what we're talking about and what we're saying is it's easy to have empathetic values or insights to open border and weak border policies if you live in the Upper East Side of Manhattan or Malibu. But these are our communities and these are our resources that are being strained. And all we're asking for is for other states, which, by the way, have sanctuary city laws, to start picking up their weight.
Well, there you have it right there. Latino conservative Abraham Enriquez destroying. He was arguing with Anna Navarro on CNN. And right there, you've got a Hispanic American saying, yeah, we like law and order, and we like lawful borders as well. It's one of the reasons why they're rebelling against the Democratic Party's vision of America as being an open globalist society.
You know, speaking of illegal aliens, and yesterday or today, we mentioned Genesis selling their catalog. When is the last time have you heard that great 1980s hit, Illegal Alien?
It's no fun being an illegal alien. FCC! FCC!
When's the last time you've heard that song played on the radio?
Canceled, because you're a racist. Hey, our bad for not doing this earlier. We're going to chit-chat here for about 5 more minutes or so, but we need you to call in because we've got a pair of tickets to give away. And we were so busy today, and we had so many guests coming in. We're having a little advertiser event here at the station. There's a lot of people coming and going. So our bad for not giving you a little heads up on this, but one of you late listeners is going to luck out on this. If you call right now, we'll take caller number 7. Jake Owens is coming to the Family Arena. The Up There, Down Here Tour, multi-platinum country music star Jake Owen is adding the Family Arena here in the beautiful county of St. Charles to his run of fall dates with Mercury Nashville's Travis Denning. October 14th, show at 7. Doors open at 6:30. The show's at 7 p.m. October 14th. We'll take caller number 7 right now at 314-912-1019. That's 314-912-1019. I know I'm caught.
Look at the phone lines light up.
I know I'm catching everybody off guard with this because we didn't talk about this at all. But Jake Owen, we'd love to give a pair of tickets away to you. You can call right now, 314-912-1019. Jake Owen coming to the Family Arena. There we go. There go the phones. I've been to the Family Arena, and it's a great venue. I saw Hank Williams Jr. there. Last year with Crazy Man, Wild Man, Nick Schroer.
I have a couple of great members at the family, memories at the family reunion. One is I sat behind President George Bush on the stage when he was campaigning for Jim Talent to win in 2002. And I saw the Lieutenant Dan Band at the Family Arena. That is the great actor.
Lieutenant Dan.
That they did a concert allowing people or building homes for a gentleman that had lost all of his limbs, and they do great work like that. And it was a great, great concert. Becky and I really enjoyed it.
It's a fantastic.
What's his name? I can't think of his name now.
Which one? Gary Sinise?
Gary Sinise. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. His band. Great band.
Is that one of the best movies ever?
It is.
Forrest Gump.
It is.
It's really an entertaining flick. It's all about Americana, you know? So I think we may have. Let me give you the number one more.
Who's the lucky person?
Wait, one more time. 314-912-1019. 314-912-1019. Chris, the phone lines did light up. People are listening to us even at 5:50 in the p.m. Yeah. Not everybody's home yet. So thank you all for calling in. I think Katie may have snagged somebody. She's got caller 7. Okay, she'll tell us who won in just a second. I take my cans off here.
I heard that, did you?
Do what?
You didn't hear that.
I didn't hear a thing.
Okay, good.
No, I don't hear much.
Sorry. Oops. Okay, go ahead.
You have to play. Hey, Stell, you have to play School Marm when Katie's out, and keep an eye on Chris. Okay, because Katie does. She has a demerit card.
Katie
for
gave
her.
Me that look too. Yeah, I was kind of scared for a minute.
Yeah, wouldn't want her as my big sister. Yeah. Hey, folks, also, one other thing. I didn't do a lot of housekeeping today. My bad. It's kind of a crazy day today. You can watch us on Rumble, Facebook, and Chris. I think it's cool that you and I have our own YouTube channel.
It is,
I always wanted my own YouTube channel.
And you know what? We haven't got a warning letter, suspension, nothing.
What if I say ivermectin?
It's amazing.
No, we just got demonetized.
Okay. Just get demonetized, yeah.
So we got a good run going.
Oh, that's too funny.
Inside the studio, so everybody's so.
Oh, there we go. You know what? Chris, the phones are still ringing. Hey, folks, we got our winner. I'm sorry. We got our winner. But, we're going to give away a pair of tickets every day this week.
Yep.
So we'll remember to do that tomorrow for sure. How about we do it? Katie, can I do it in the 4 o'clock hour tomorrow? Is that okay? She's not listening. She says yes. We'll do it in the 4 o'clock hour tomorrow.
And don't forget Sunday.
Oh, yes. That's right. Chris, we have a lot going on, you and I, don't we? Good thing we have wives that keep our social calendars. We are going to the St. Louis County GOP headquarters for the St. Louis Young Republicans Freedom Fest Barbecue 2. Chris, the weather's going to be very pleasant.
Yes,
you'll be okay.
Becky sent me a text yesterday, said it's supposed to be mid-70s.
Nice.
So I am good to go.
Yes, go to newstalkstl.com for all of the details. Chris and I will be there emceeing and herding the cats. We're going to have a ton of cats to herd because Congresswoman Ann Wagner, Missouri Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft, Attorney General Eric Schmidt, Missouri State Senators Andrew Koenig and Bill Eigel, and many, many, many others will be at the second annual St. Louis Young Republicans Freedom Fest Barbecue. Frank Catanzaro and Jamie Murphy and the gang and the Young Republicans will have tons of awesome barbecue and side dishes. Maybe I can sneak an adult beverage or two since it's a Sunday. And we will wow and entertain you with our wit and wisdom and our special guest that I mentioned and so much more. That's at St. Louis County GOP headquarters at Gravois Bluffs. Yes, right by the Friar Tuck's liquor store.
One more bit of
housekeeping.
Sir. Earlier in the show, I said Andrew Jones was going to be on Fox and Friends at 5:30 in the morning. It's actually 4:30 in the morning. Andrew
Central
Jones.
Time.
Central
time.
Yes. Set your DVRs. Yes.
Susan Phillip, she's our winner, and it's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Susan. She's the lucky winner. I know. Mm-hmm. She's very excited.
Where is Susan from? Did we find out?
Well, it looks like she is from the St. Charles area.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Susan, you need to go play the lottery.
Listening on 94.1. Yeah, very good. Excellent. Chris, are you on, what is today, Tuesday? Are you on Newsmax later this week?
Friday.
Do you know yet?
Friday, 5:30, 6, and 7.
With Rob Finnerty and the gang?
With Rob Finnerty.
All right, very good. Chris is on Newsmax. And what do we got still? Are we at 56 or are we 57? Are we out?
Oh, you still have a couple minutes here.
Okay,
very
good. Yeah. I did not bring this up last week, and Katie, you might have to drop on the microphone. So I watched the next episode of House of Dragons, Game of Thrones. It got better. It got better. The characters, the first time they switched and they went to the older characters, I was like, who are these layabouts? Yeah. I was not impressed at all. Second episode, I was much more impressed. Boy, did it get wild.
You know what, though?
I missed last Sunday.
Oh, wait till you see it.
There will be no spoilers. There will be no spoilers.
We will not say anything, okay. No.
But the other thing that I have to say is that I did watch a preview for the next, so not the one that you and I just saw, and that Chris, that you missed. Mm-hmm. It's the next episode. No spoilers. There's going to be another freaking time jump. There's
another
jump. I'm like, wait, so are we trying to wrap up this show in one season?
So there's going to be another set of actresses.
No. Same set of actresses, but just another like 10-year time jump.
Okay. Oh, weird.
I'm like, what? Are we going to wrap up? Is this going to be a one season show?
I'm wondering.
How far can it go?
And how do you know that they're getting older when their hair is white already?
I know. I guess we can judge by the wrinkles or lack thereof.
I guess.
So, Katie, do you remember how many years this is allegedly supposed to be before the beginning of the original? Is it 300 years?
300 is what I heard.
Yeah, I think maybe it is 300.
So do Targaryens live really long? Because isn't one of the sons, the one that becomes the Mad King, that...
I was wondering.
That Jaime kills? So do the Targaryens live for a long time?
I don't know if it's that far. I don't know if it's... It is 300 years, though, in the future, I believe. But I don't know if it's him.
I think they just reigned for that long.
I guess they did, yeah. Chris, you got to watch it. There's some badass dragon scenes.
Yeah, we missed last week.
It's pretty good. It got better. It came back for me. All right. We got to get out of this hour. We got the 6 o'clock hour straight ahead featuring Dr. Jeannie Singfield, Taxes Have Consequences, and the wild man David Stokes of the Show Me Institute in studio next. All that is straight ahead with Chris, Katie, Stell, and yours truly here at 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. It's the Tim Jones and Chris Hope Show. Waiting
for podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.